Well, welcome to Culture Makers. My name is James Meehan. We are honored that you are joining with us. Speaking of honored, we also have the one, the only, Jasmine Reynolds from Life Church Online with us. Jasmine, say the words to the people. Go.
That was a very long intro. Well, yeah, I'm super honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Here's the deal. Culture is being made.
Yes.
Every single day. And we're here to talk about it. Actually, as a matter of fact, a few years ago, there was a child who was given birth to.
Yes.
Named Whose Culture.
Name? With a K.
With a K.
With a K.
And Culture was made. The parents are V. Cardi B. And I believe, is Offset the dad of
Offset Culture? Is the baby daddy.
Of Culture as well?
Yes. Who
I'm looking for confirmation off screen.
A part of, okay. The band, or the rap group.
The rap group, not a band. Totally different. NSYNC was a band.
Listen.
Migos, a group. Way cooler.
Don't make fun of my NSYNC. I love my NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, okay?
So not relevant. So here's the thing. Cardi B just revealed that she's pregnant with her second child with Offset, one of the rappers of Migos. And what's really interesting about their relationship is there was a time, correct me if I'm wrong, you can let me know in the chat, where they actually were married.
Yeah.
But then they decided to get a divorce, but they're choosing
but they're still
be together.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's important for us to wrestle with as followers of Jesus is how should we think about so many of the influential people that we look up to, maybe because of their music, the movies that they're in, the books that they write, you know, the following they have on Instagram.
That's good.
How do we look at something like that, that relationship, and then wrestle with it wisely and figure out what does that mean for us?
Yeah, and I think it's different too because Cardi B, I don't think at any point has ever said that she's a Christian or that she believes in God. And
right,
so
as far
I think
as I know.
That's important to take into consideration too, because when we are looking at Cardi B, we're not looking at her as, you know, somebody who follows Jesus and, you know, and so I think that that's really important for us to all take into consideration. Who is it that we're following and understanding that there are some people that we love that we don't necessarily agree with their lifestyle, and that's okay.
Right.
But we're also not here to judge their lifestyle.
For sure.
Just because they're not a follower of Jesus.
Right. And I think this is the thing that's so important for us to recognize is that if we only ever spend time with or look to people that agree with everything we already believe, then guess what we're not doing?
Yeah.
We're not reaching people that haven't already been reached.
Yes.
And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about this idea of who is it that we're supposed to judge?
Yeah.
And he literally says, hey, is it my job to judge those outside the church?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, no.
Yeah.
My job is to judge those inside the church.
Which actually is like so interesting because I feel like for so long I was always told, don't judge people. Don't judge people. Like not, right. Even as followers of Jesus.
Come on,
it's
dude.
Not my place to judge. I don't judge anybody. But it's like, actually, no, like we as followers of Jesus hold each other accountable.
100%.
And that is so important to do. And to also remember, like you just said, we're not called to judge people outside the church because they don't believe
right.
the same things we do.
Right, they don't believe what we believe. And when we look at the person of Jesus over and over and over again, what we see is that he was the most gentle and gracious towards those who were outside of the family of God.
Yeah.
And he was most harsh to those that were inside the family of God. So here's the deal. For like us, as Christian leaders that are part of the church, when we mess up, you better believe, hold us accountable all day long because we will fall short. And that accountability is a gift.
Yeah.
But when we are judging and trying to hold accountable people that have never agreed to what we believe in, then it comes across as condemnation. And that's actually what pushes people away from the church.
And as followers of Jesus, what we want to do is show people who don't necessarily believe, we are a vessel.
Come on.
We are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so when we do condemn or when we do shame others for living a certain lifestyle or doing certain things, what we're doing is just what you said. We're pushing people away from Jesus, which is the exact opposite of what Jesus did.
Absolutely. So yes, have wisdom, use discernment. Make sure that you're not basing your life off of decisions that people might be making that are not honoring to God. But at the same time, don't ever allow yourself to look down on others because they're making decisions that you may not agree with. Because every single person, Cardi B, Offset, their future child, are all human beings made in the image of God. And every single one of us has been called to love them the same way that God through Christ has loved us.
I love that.
All right, next thing we gotta talk about, because we just talked about relationships.
Yes.
And how complicated and messy they can be. Mm-hmm. The people need to know, Jasmine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Based off of your experience, your expertise, how as a Christian do you ask someone out on a date?
So my now husband.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you about to spill the
husband,
tea?
I am about to. Well, I don't know if it's spilling the tea or
do people
really
still say that?
Me.
Or is that a?
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I think it's still a thing.
It's not a thing. We're getting confirmation off screen.
Okay. Well, my now husband at the time, we had gone on a few dates just to see if we were, like, compatible, right?
Oh, whoa.
It's true.
Weird.
It's important.
Wow.
It's important.
You didn't just immediately get married the first time you saw each other?
No, we did not. Actually, wow. I literally was like, my husband, he dresses really great.
Yeah, he does.
He's a pretty
Blair
boy,
Reynolds.
And I
yeah,
love him.
Yeah, he is. I do too, come on.
So my now husband, then we went on a few dates. I got this message on Facebook from somebody saying like, hey, I would love to take you on a date, which is also kind of a weird way to ask somebody on a date.
What do you mean?
Through a Facebook message.
What? Sliding into the DMs?
I think it's weird. Why wouldn't you just ask somebody in person?
Oh, shots fired, okay.
Confront somebody, right? And you like them.
Dang.
You can't be afraid to go up to someone if you like them.
Wow, no, I received this feedback.
Well,
I'm
I got
kidding.
A message on
it's
Facebook.
A joke.
I got a message on Facebook if somebody else asked me on a date. And so I wound up sending a message to Blair and was like, hey, listen, I got this message. Somebody asked me to go on a date. I don't want to go, but I need you to tell me that if we are exclusive, then I want to know so
Come
I can
on.
Tell this guy, actually, I'm dating someone. Thanks for your offer, though.
Right.
And Blair wound up calling me and was like, I was going to wait to ask you, but I guess you could just do it now. Would you like to be my girlfriend? So,
ladies and gentlemen, that's your answer.
Define the relationship.
Wait until somebody messages the other person on Facebook.
No, don't do that. That's terrible advice.
But I think this is like a great example of maybe the importance of what you just said, defining the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like I remember whenever my now wife, Mandy, whenever we were first when we first met, I was super interested. She was super not. And so like, I was trying to make a move, found out she was dating somebody else. I knew eventually they'd break up. They did. Come on, somebody.
How
in
did
Jesus
you know
name.
That they were eventually gonna break up?
Oh, I just hoped. I didn't know. I was just kind of hoping that they would. But they did break up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lived in the same city. And we got to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in that conversation, I was like, oh, hey, yeah, I think we got a lot of things in common. I'd love to talk to you more. We should go to Chipotle sometime. She 100% shot me down, which was right on her because I was, still being worked on by the grace of Jesus. But then eventually, we started hanging out in the same group of friends, which was a really great way for us to get to know each other on a friend level without the pressure and expectations of, oh, is she into me?
That's
Am
good.
I into her?
Mm-hmm.
But eventually we realized, oh, I think that we've got some chemistry. I think that there might be some mutual attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, oh, it might be a little bit confusing for her to know where we stand in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so I realized, man, if I don't define this relationship, then I'm not gonna be honoring her because she's gonna keep wondering, what do I think?
So
I said, hey, would you mind going to coffee? I'd love to just bring some clarity to our situation.
That's
we
awesome.
Sit down and I said, hey, just so you know, I've kind of got this list of the things I'm looking for in a potential partner. I want them to love Jesus. I want them to have a great personality, to be committed to learning and growing, and they gotta be smoking hot. And just to be blunt, you are all four of those things. And so I would love to pursue a relationship with you. Is that
That's
something
awesome.
You'd be interested in?
Yeah.
And so she kind of like blushed a little bit. And then she said, yeah, like we can take it one step at a time. And so we did have this kind of season of like what it sounds like you and Blair had, where we went on some dates to try to figure out, okay, is the chemistry really there outside of a group of friends?
Yeah.
And it was this really, really helpful thing to learn, okay, I think I like her. She likes me. It seems like we're a good match.
Yeah.
Let's continue to pursue this relationship.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are watching this, here's my advice. Just be clear. Tell people what you're feeling, what you're thinking, because the longer it goes, the more confusing it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the best things that we can do is just be really honest with people.
And it's not helpful for either party.
Oh, for sure.
And I love that. Clarity is so important. No matter like if you're going on a date with someone or if you're dating someone
Absolutely.
Or even in any other relationship, friendship that you have, clarity is so, so, so important.
Come on. Next part, talking about something that I think is not as clear as we would like for it to be.
Speaking of clarity.
Come on, because it's this really weird and messy situation going on right now with Britney Spears, who was like an icon when I was growing up. You better believe that like my sisters had all of her songs.
You were jamming out to Britney Spears.
Well, whoa, okay. Hold your horses. My sisters had all her songs, would play them on our old like CD player.
Oh yeah.
And I would listen and loved it. But right now, there's a lot of stuff that's coming out about her current situation that honestly, from the outside looking in, just seems really heartbreaking and also frustrating. So Jasmine, what can you enlighten us about with the whole situation going on and how we should think about it?
If you're not aware of what's going on, her court case is now going on where she is really fighting against her dad so that she can now really be in charge of her life again, because her dad has been in charge of everything, her finances, what she's able to do, what she's not able to do, if she's able to see her kids or not. And so there's all of this stuff that's going on, which to me just personally is weird because it's like, I remember watching her concerts. I remember listening and singing along to her music and thinking, wow, she's so amazing. And then to now hear really all of the things that have been happening behind closed doors.
Absolutely.
When she shaved her head, people just called her crazy and didn't even take into consideration maybe what's going on personally for her instead of just judgment being cast.
Absolutely.
Right? And so anyway, all of that that's going on right now, I think especially as followers of Jesus, obviously the first line of defense, the first offense that we have is to pray for
her and her situation. Come on, because the best defense is a good offense. Let's go, people.
Yes. We can do what only we can do, which is pray and give it to God. And we can trust that he is watching out for her because he cares for her and her situation. But personally, it's hard for me to watch because it's so hard for me to really, sorry, I'm gonna get emotional. But it's just because, like, I know so many people are consistently suffering and we don't hear all of the suffering that happens. Right. We are just hearing about what's going on with her, but she's just one of how many.
Right.
And it breaks my heart. I know it breaks the heart of our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
And I kind of like was like, yeah, we get to pray, but like for real, like that's what we get to do.
Right.
Because we can't control each and every situation, but we can trust the one who is.
Absolutely. I think the thing that's like super convicting for me is the fact that when things were first going weird with Brittany, when she was, you know, shaving her head and there's all this drama in the news, I was 100% one of those people that was just judging and condemning. Like I had zero grace for her because I had this, you know, really unhealthy mentality where it's like, you're a celebrity, how bad can it really be?
Yeah.
And I think now we're realizing that in every walk of life, there are people who are suffering immensely.
Yeah.
And instead of me actually reflecting the heart of our Heavenly Father, I was just being a judgmental scumbag. And so it's things like this that remind me of, number one, my own hypocrisy. Number two, the fact that our world is broken, fallen, and hurting. And number three, that God is still good. He is still working to bring healing, to bring hope, and to bring redemption. And so maybe you're finding yourself in a situation right now where you're hurting, where you're suffering, where you're looking for hope. What I hope you will believe, what I hope you will trust is that in the middle of all of that, God is still good. Even when you don't feel it, I believe that God is wanting to work in the people around you to bring you closer to him. And that's why we do things like this.
Yeah.
Because we are so committed to the idea that through Jesus, freedom is possible.
Yeah.
And maybe you're watching this and you're not yet a Christian, man, just keep showing up. Keep checking out what's happening here at Switch, because we want to be a place where you can find the hope that you've been longing for. For the last part of our show, we've got some questions from you that you have been leaving on our YouTube channel, which, by the way, if you have questions, make sure you drop them down below because we love to answer your questions. And like today's questions, I'm especially excited for. Number one, because they're awesome. Number two, because one of the questions directly involves our co-host, Jasmine Reynolds. But before we get to that, question number one, you ready for this?
Yes, I have no idea what you're gonna ask.
Okay, this one's so beautiful though, because it's all about Facebook and you already talked about it.
Oh my gosh.
So question number one from Pranza.
Sweet.
Can I share the gospel through Facebook?
Oh my gosh, yes. I do love this question. I am so passionate about sharing the gospel through social media. Social media is a tool that we can leverage to talk about the goodness of our Heavenly Father.
No matter
if it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is, we can use whatever social media platform to share the gospel,
Let's go, don't ask people out. But share the gospel. Next question is from our friend Brooke.
Sweet.
Brooke is asking, James, how did you propose?
Oh.
Now here's what's great.
I know this story.
Yeah, Jasmine knows the story, because here's what's crazy. Y'all may not know this, but before Mandy and I got married, she was living in Tulsa, and she had some roommates. One of those roommates happens to be in this room right now.
It was me. It was me.
So, here's the story. First of all, I had no idea what to do. So, I did what I think wise people do.
Yeah.
I asked for help.
Ask. Which this is a whole sermon in itself, you know?
Oh, okay.
You know?
Do we need
to? Asking for help, and then even when we don't want to,
come on.
Gotta make sure. I'm just saying.
Listen, don't rely on Yelp. Ask for help. So I asked Jasmine, who was roommates with my now wife, and I said, hey, can you like start asking her some questions? And she got some information for me. She was kind of like a spy.
I was an intel. I was doing intel is what
Ooh,
I was doing.
Come on, that's good. Yeah. And she got me some information that helped me understand what it was that would be meaningful for my now wife. And so what we ended up doing is we recreated one of our favorite dates, where we had gone in the afternoon for a hike at a place in Tulsa called Turkey Mountain. After that, we went and saw a movie together. Then we were planning on going to dinner, because that was kind of like how we had capped off that original really great date. But on the way to dinner, we stopped at this bridge at sunset. One of our friends
beautiful.
From our life group was a photographer. She was waiting there to take a picture. And I had like written this sweet note in a journal that I gave to Mandy. And like it said like all these nice things. And at the bottom, it said like turn the page. And she was supposed to turn the page and it was supposed to say, will you marry me? And I was gonna be waiting there, like on my knee with a ring in hand to ask her the question. But like, she reads it and then just throws the journal to the ground, spins in a circle, and then like collapses. And so I'm sitting here waiting for her to respond. It was so uncomfortable because I'm like, oh wow, I really made you mad. Thankfully,
she was not mad.
She eventually stands up, says yes, and then we went to actually my parents' house where we had some of our friends and family ready to, you know, meet us there and celebrate with us. Now, we were very specific about not proposing in front of a huge group of people because you better believe I don't want to get told no in a big group of people. And also the pressure that that would have put on her to say yes. I didn't want to put that on. Now, there are some people who want that, and that's great.
For sure.
Know what the other person wants. Before,
very important. Before you propose.
Before you propose. But the amount of times where I watch like dudes propose to their girlfriend, and it's in a hugely public space, and then you can tell that the person wants to say no, but they don't. They say yes, and then a few months later, they end up breaking it off. Listen, have conversations. Clarity is key. So that's how I propose.
It's a theme. Clarity is key.
Clarity is key. Gosh. I'm so excited about this one.
Oh,
it gets me so excited because I'm so passionate about this. And especially the way they worded this question is just brilliant. All right, so Rohan asked the question, hey, you know when people say God has talked to them? How does that work? Like, are they so holy God actually talks to them?
That's good. I actually had a conversation recently about somebody who was saying that they didn't feel as holy as somebody else. And I asked them why, and they were just like, well, it's just because their encouragement is longer than mine. They use scripture in at the end of messages and stuff like that. And so I literally was like, so what makes them more holy than you? And they were just like, well, they just... I feel like they just know the Bible more. And I was like, yeah, but like that's the beauty of like us having a unique relationship with the Lord.
Come on.
Is just because God will speak to us in different ways. Like, I don't know if I've actually ever heard the audible voice of God before.
Right.
But I have had this like prompting, this feeling, like even when I did move to Tulsa, it was this prompting and this feeling of like, I feel like God's calling me to this and I think this door is opening. So I'm just going to walk in obedience and hope that this is right.
Absolutely.
And if it does, and if it opens, which it did, then I knew that I was hearing from God.
Come on.
And so it's also, I think, really important for us to know and start to identify where we feel the closest to the Lord.
Come on.
For me, it's honestly out in nature. I love being in nature and listening to worship because I feel like every distraction, even if it's taking a walk in my neighborhood, every distraction is a way I can just focus on the words that I'm listening to. I'm reminded of scripture that I've read because that is also very important. Spend time
Come
in
on.
Scripture.
Absolutely.
And the more that you get to know our Heavenly Father, I think the clearer it'll become to you when He is speaking.
That's so good. It is one of my pet peeves. Whenever preachers go on and on about their walkie-talkie relationship with God, where it's like, God told me X, and then I said Y, and then He said Z. And again, that may be the truth for them.
Absolutely, but it's not for everybody.
But that's not how God speaks to everybody. And I think that's such an important thing to recognize. And like what you mentioned, I can't point to a time where I heard the audible voice of God speak to me clearly.
Yeah.
For me, the way that God primarily speaks to me is through scriptures, through his written word.
Mm.
After that, like the next most frequent way is through community, the people that God's put in my life, where he will give them a word to share to me that is really impactful. And it'll often happen in times and situations where it's like, oh, I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God knew I needed it.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, what you described, I'll have this thought, this prompting that seems to come from outside of me that, to the best of my knowledge, is from God.
What's also so important is to not compare.
Come on.
How often, or if you don't feel like you hear from God, compare your walk to somebody else's.
Come on, dude.
Because just as what we've been saying, we can't, just because people, if they have heard the audible voice of God, great.
Yeah.
But like, that's not everybody.
Yep.
Not everybody hears from God the exact same way.
Absolutely.
And so we can't compare our walk to somebody else's.
Yep. In the gospel accounts, Jesus hears the audible voice of God two times. Once at his baptism, and second at the transfiguration.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, the Son of God, heard the audible voice twice.
Yeah.
And it was during a time where he's performing miracles, casting out demons, he's about to go to the cross. And that's the example that we're given. And so I think that there are absolutely times where God will speak to us.
Yeah.
But it may not look like what we expect it to or like we want it to.
Mm-hmm.
The real question is, are we willing to listen?
It's good.
That's a wrap on this episode of Culture Makers. Thank you so much for joining with us. Jasmine, it was a gift. You brought wisdom. You brought coolness.
Oh, the fact that you had to wait and it was
I was
thinking
like,
of a word.
Like, I was like, no, here's what it was.
What
I was,
else did she bring?
No, that's not it. I was about to say, do I say swagger? That's not cool anymore. That's what I used to say back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But coolness, that'll never go out of style.
Sure.
So Jasmine, thank you for joining with us. It was a gift. We're so glad you were here. If you've got questions, comment them down below. Like, comment, subscribe. See you next time on Culture Makers.